morning, Ebenezer, family and friends. It's so good to be back on this day that the Lord has made. It is so good to be saved, delivered, and set free, to be have our steps ordered of the Lord. And I just want you, as you go through this day and this week, to just continually give the Lord praise, honor, and glory. We've got so much on ebcnc.com to encourage you in your walk. As the stresses of the times are coming in, and we've got hurricanes, tropical depressions, homicide rates going up, world issues that are cropping up, we can know that God is faithful. So on ebcnc.com, we have our Bible studies on Monday, our special events, Tuesday, noonday Bible study, Wednesday Bible studies. Of course, we've got our in-person services on Sunday, 8:45 and 10:45, and we have our 10 o'clock online. So many things just to keep our focus on Jesus and all that he has done for us. I want you to continue to hold up those that are going through procedures, even those that have been entered into nursing facilities, and the families who are having to deal with that, just on my heart. Just continue to reach out, text, embrace, and call. I want to thank you so much for your giving, whether it's through our secure mailbox or using our app or in our in-person services, but thank you for all that you do. Well, I am blessed to be thinking about this sermon that we're going to get into. We're in distractions and fear, and just how God is going to minister to all of our hearts and encourage us today. So let's prepare our hearts as we think about Christ and how wonderful he is. See you soon.
Coming from the first chapter, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified. In other words, as a Christian, you got to separate yourself from the world. We're in the world, but we don't have to be of the world. In Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place, called upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in very things ye are enriched by him, and ye are utter and in all knowledge. Even the testimonies of Christ confirmed in you, so that ye can come behind in no gifts, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word.
Give me a clean heart, so I may serve Lord. Fix my heart so that I may be used by thee. Lord, I'm not worthy of all. But please give me, Lord, Lord, fix my heart so that I may use by thee, for I'm not worthy of
Father in heaven is just so good as we just think about how much he keeps us and he covers us in the midst of all the distractions and fear that the enemy brings our way. As we get back into this series, I pray that you have committed to memory 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's what we need in these days and times, to know that God does give us a sound mind and that we don't have to walk in fear. Well, before we get into the scripture today, I just want to go in a word of prayer as we just ask God to lead us and to prepare our hearts to receive his word. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much, Lord. Prepare us, Lord, to be a sanctuary for you. Lord, we thank you that any holiness that we have, it's all because of you and your Holy Spirit that dwells on the inside of us. So I pray for those who are looking in that may not be saved, that don't know you. Would you help today be their day that they have a personal relationship with you, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It's a gift from you. Help them to receive that gift, Lord. Now, Lord, I just thank you for being a forgiving God, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Therefore, we welcome you, Holy Spirit. We sense your presence. Would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Would you make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, to help us, Lord, as we all battle with distraction and fears in our lives? We just give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, we want to get into a new book, Nehemiah, as we've been making our way and really examining distractions and fear. Remember, on last time, we dealt with David and Bathsheba and Uriah and eye trouble. So today, I want to look at Nehemiah chapter 6 and the 9th verse. Nehemiah 6 and the 9th verse. It reads, "For they all were trying to make us afraid." In the chat, you might want to just type afraid. That's big. "Saying their hands will be weakened in the work and it will not be done. Now, therefore, O God, strengthen my hands." I want to read that again. Nehemiah 6:9. "For they all were trying to make us afraid, saying their hands will be weakened in the work and it will not be done. Now, therefore, O God, strengthen my hands." I want to speak from a title today, "Turn Fear Over to God." Turn fear over to God. If you got somebody around you or even in the chat, maybe sitting in your living room or maybe you're on break, just tell somebody or speak it to yourself. Turn fear over to God. As we get into today's lesson, the time frame is about 425 BC. Nehemiah is a special character because he actually rises up during the Babylonian captivity. Because the Jewish nation had gone astray, God allows them to be overcome by another nation. Nehemiah is raised up in a foreign land under the Persian emperor, and he is actually the Persian emperor's cupbearer. He's right there. God begins to deal with his heart about his homeland, Jerusalem, and the walls being broken down. He had heard these stories, and literally he steps out on faith, and the king allows him to go home to build the walls of his home city, that there can be some type of security there. So God is moving in him in an amazing way. But we all know that when God starts blessing and ordering our steps, the enemy will come against us. He will bring in distractions and fear. And today we're going to examine how we can make it through these times that the enemy attacks us strong. Nehemiah's name in Hebrew, it actually means comfort of Jehovah, comfort of Jehovah. So every time his name is said or he thinks about his name, he knows that a genealogical background of that, that definition of it, and it comes out comfort of Jehovah. And I find that interesting even in our lives, that we have to just focus on the fact that God is our comforter. Jehovah is our comforter. No matter what struggles that we're going through, know that we can turn our fear over to God. Let's jump into this section, Nehemiah 6, 1 and 2. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had built the wall and that there were no breaks left in it, though at that time I had not hung the doors and the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, "Come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono," but they thought to do me harm. Here's our first big point, and I want you to get this, and we know this, but I just want us to understand what the enemy is about. The enemy does not want us to finish. The enemy does not want us to finish. It does not matter where you are, your background. If you are a Christian, you're called on mission, and the enemy does not want you to finish that mission. He wants you to fail. Nehemiah has actually led the people to almost 52 days. It'll take him 52 days to build this wall, which is astronomical when you think about everything he had to do to come in and get the people's confidence and also encourage them to build it. He's probably at around the 50th day when these distractions and fear begin to rise to an all-time high. The enemy has been attacking him over and over again, just trying to get him to give up on this mission that God had put in his life. Sanballat actually within the scripture possibly wants to meet with Nehemiah to assassinate him, at least to distract him enough that he cannot finish this wall that God has called him to do. I just want to give you a question. I want you to really think about it. How close are you in your life to finishing your mission, or a breakthrough in your life, or the prayer that you've been praying about is almost there? God has already put it and it's coming down, it's rolling, it's like a bowling ball coming your way, but the enemy is trying to distract you. He's trying to get you to turn a different way, to go down a different avenue. But I want you to know that you can trust the Lord. And oftentimes when we're right at our breakthrough, when we're right at the point of receiving that blessing from the Lord, that's when the attacks happen. Maybe your breakthrough is going to be today. Yes, yes, there ought to be some hallelujahs. Maybe your breakthrough is going to happen this evening or a Monday morning or Tuesday, but it's almost here. But you've got to understand that you've got to turn your fear over to God. But the enemy, he definitely doesn't want us to finish. The other day, I was just going through some videos on the Olympics. I love to just look at the Olympics and all that was going on. This particular lady, her name is Sifan Hassan. And Sifan Hassan, she's running a 1500 meter. It's about a mile. And she's out. She's favored to be in the front, to possibly even win. And Sifan, she's going. She's running. She's got her pace. She actually sets back because, you know what, she just wants to follow everybody. She's staying close to the pack. And about midway, something terrible happens to Sifan. Someone trips. slips. She gets tripped up in the pack and Safan goes down. Yes, she falls down. Now, this is a critical race. She needs to at least get up into the first four or five, the finalists. But you know what? Safan does not stay on the ground. Safan, she actually gets up and begins to run. It's about a lap, one lap that's left, and Safan is running out all sprint. Again, this is a mile race, and you know what Safan does? Safan passes the pack, and at the end of the race, Safan finishes, but she just doesn't finish. She wins. That spoke a lot to me when I think about God in our lives. We can fall down, but we get up. And I am so glad that we have those examples in real life of people who have fallen and they did not give up. Safan could have just said, forget it. You know, it is over. It's done. I'll come back to the Olympics another day. But she said, no, I still got a lot of kick in me. And I want you to know, maybe you have gotten tripped up. Maybe the enemy has brought a distraction. Maybe he's brought fear into your life and you become debilitated for a period of time. But I want you to know, get up and keep on running, because you don't have to just get across the line, but you can actually win your race. Proverbs 24:16 out of the Contemporary English Version says, even if good people fall seven times, they will get back up. Somebody needs to say hallelujah. But when trouble strikes the wicked, that's the end of them. Look at Nehemiah 6:3. So I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? Here's another point. This is critical. Know your purpose. Yes, know your purpose. When these distractions come and when you get knocked down and tripped up, you got to know your purpose. Nehemiah, as he's working on this, he's already distraction of trying to get him from that work. Now they want him to come down. Woodrow Noel, he writes this powerful thought. He says, Nehemiah had a proper perspective on his priorities. A continuation of God's work was far more important than the friendship of the world. Nehemiah realized that if he were absent from Jerusalem for a period of time, the work would suffer and might even come to a stop. I want you to think about in your life, and there's a lot of questions that are just on my heart. How many people have you tripped up simply because you've fallen to the schemes of the enemy? Nehemiah realized, if I come down, if I stop this this work that's going on, then there are other people that are going to be thrown off of their track. They're going to be thrown off of their mission. Look closely at Nehemiah 6:3. He says, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. I want you to know that we are involved in a great work, and we've got to make sure that we don't succumb to the fear tactics of the enemy. We've got to turn our fear over to God. Philippians 1:6 said, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Isn't that good news to know that what God has started on the inside of us, that God is going to finish it? And I know that you may be in looking in and listening in and saying, Pastor, I got some stuff that's going on. I got some stresses. The enemy is attacking me hard. But I want you to know, you can be confident because God is working it out. Turn your fears over to God. Look at Nehemiah 6:4. But they sent me this message. Listen to this. Four times in the chat, type four, say four, four times. And I answered them in the same manner. Here's another point. The enemy is persistent. Amen. The enemy is persistent. We must understand, once we have victory in our lives, once we finish one mission and God puts us on another mission, the enemy doesn't give up. We can pray, we can see God's face, we're fasting, and we come through those dark clouds, those distractions, those fears, but just wait a little bit, the enemy is going to come back. And we can understand this because it even happened to Jesus. You remember when Jesus was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights? life. He had finished that fast, and you would think, man, he's finished it. Now everything's over. The enemy's not going to mess with him. But that's when the enemy actually messed with him and brought all these temptations. But there's a particular scripture I want to pull out at this point, Luke 4:13. It says, now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. That meant that, yes, the devil had thrown what he could throw at him at that point, but he was coming back. Somebody say, he's coming back. Yes, he is coming back at you, but I am so glad for the believer that we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, and we can turn our fear over to God. The enemy is persistent. What we must know, that God is faithful, James 4:7, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Somebody say, flee. He will flee from you, but you got to resist. You got to fight. You got to turn your fear over to God. Look at Nehemiah 6:5-7. It says, then Sanballat sent his servant to me as before, the fifth time, with an open letter in his hand. In it was written, it is reported among the nations, and Geshem says that you and the Jews plan to rebel. Therefore, according to these rumors, you are rebuilding the wall that you may be their king. And you have also appointed prophets to proclaim concerning you at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah. Now these matters will be reported to the king. So come therefore and let us consult together. Here's another point. The attack of confusion. The attack of confusion, distractions and fear. The enemy can come in and bring it with all angles. And we want to look at the attack of confusion. One of these attacks of confusion is to try to get into our minds, to get into our minds. Sanballat is trying to actually confuse Nehemiah. He wants a Nehemiah to second guess himself. Sound familiar? That's the way the enemy attacks us. He tries to get in our mind. He wants us to second guess what God has already said, what God has already done within our lives. And we've got to realize, if God did it in the past, if he's protected us, if he kept us, he's going to keep us now. He's been our healer in the past. He's going to be our healer now. But the enemy will come in and try to say, has God said? Will God do it? But understand that God gives us peace. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. In our lives, we've got to go where the peace is, because where their confusion's at, that's where the enemy is. We must walk in God's peace on a daily basis. Now, let's not submit to the attack of confusion of the enemy. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says something that can encourage us in this walk. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Turn your fear over to God. We've got to know that God is so faithful, and Nehemiah is standing strong on the word of the Lord. Look at Nehemiah 6:8-9. Then I sent to him, saying, no such thing as you say are being done. Nehemiah says that, but you invent them in your own heart. For they all were trying to make us afraid, saying, their hands will be weakened in the work, and it will not be done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. I love this one. The devil is a liar. Yes, yes. The devil is a liar. Jesus spoke these words to his disciples that to keep them on track in John 8:31. Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The enemy is a liar, but God wants us to walk in the truth. When distractions and fear come upon us, I encourage you to go to the word of God and hold forth God's word, and know that God is our everything, and his word is the truth. Nehemiah was able to see through the distraction of lies. Jesus speaks these powerful words to the Pharisees and scribes that were trying to distract him with lies in John 8:44. He says, you are your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, listen to this, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Yes, yes, turn your fears over to God. The enemy's lies try to make you afraid.
Yes, that is his whole purpose as he brings forth these lines to try to make us afraid. Notice closely Nehemiah 6:9. It says, for they all were trying to make us afraid, saying their hands will be weakened in the work and it will not be done. This is critical. This is one of the attacks the enemy comes so strong just to try to get us afraid, because when we become afraid, we don't walk in the blessings of the Lord. We slow down. We even stop. We just lay on the ground. But when we know that greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world, we can tell the devil he is a liar. There's no truth in him. And God is all powerful. Let me show you Nehemiah 6:10. It says, afterward, I came to the house of Shemaiah, the son of Delaiah, the son of Mehetabel, who was a secret informer. And he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. Indeed, at night, they will come to kill you. Here's a big one. Religious manipulation. Religious manipulation. It is sad, even as I get into this, that religious manipulation can be used even in our present day and time, that people try to bring religion in to manipulate you to actually get you out of the will of God. Sanballat within this scripture actually hires a prophet to get Nehemiah off track. Yes, he knows Nehemiah loves God. He's a religious man. And so what Sanballat goes, okay, we can't get him off track with anything else, so we will hire a prophet to speak lies to Nehemiah, and hopefully he'll just because he's a preacher or a pastor, he'll follow him. I'm telling you, you got to know the word for yourself. You got to have a relationship with God, and don't allow people to religiously manipulate you. Remember 2 Corinthians 11:13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. 2 Corinthians 11:14, and no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. That 15th verse, therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Please, please hear me. Turn fear over to God, that the enemy likes to come in and use religious manipulation to get us off track. That's why our personal relationship, knowing who God is for ourselves, praying without ceasing, worshiping and praising him, keeps us on track, because the enemy will hit us with everything he can and throw in our lives to try to trip us. Jesus, in his temptation, he also went through this. Look at Luke 4:9, 10, and 11. It says, then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. Listen to this. For it is written, that is religious manipulation. He says, he shall give his angel charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. It is. It was written, but he's manipulating the scriptures, taking it out of context to get Jesus to do what he wants. He's bringing a distraction within Jesus' life. But I love Luke 4:12. And Jesus answered and said to him, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. You got to know some word. You got to know when the enemy quote scriptures to you. You got to pull them back in context and say, no, this is what it means. And you got to walk in the power of God. The enemy can quote some scriptures. Yes, he's been around God a long time. But please understand, when we got the Holy Spirit, he's our teacher, he's our guider, and he keeps us from that religious manipulation. We've got to turn our fear over to God. Look at this next section of scripture, Nehemiah 6:11. And I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there such as I who would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. Then I perceived that God had not sent him at all, but that he pronounced his prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. For this reason, he was hired, that I should be afraid. Somebody put afraid again, and act that way and sin, so that they might have cause for an evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, remember Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and the prophetess Noadiah, and the rest of the prophets who would have made me afraid. There's that word again. When we have fear, we tend to make mistakes, huge mistakes that can actually lead us into sin. Here's another point. Discernment. Discernment. Yes, yes, this is a powerful word, discernment. Discernment is the ability to judge well. And the issue is when we walk in fear, these distractions, our ability to judge well is diminished. There ought to be some shouts. I sent somebody out there saying that's what happened. That's what happened. See, when you got in a fearful situation, when you couldn't see your way out, you started to make dumb decisions. And now when you look back, you ask yourself, why did I do that? Why did I go to that person? Why did I take out that loan? It was because of the distractions of fear. What we have to do is get into the presence of God. And as said before, we've got to find His peace, because when we're walking in fear, we make mistakes. Our ability to judge well is diminished, as said before. Nehemiah stood on this principle of Proverbs 3:5. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Yes, Nehemiah says, you know what? I can't trust myself. The enemy's trying to bring fear, but I got to stay in the peace, and he's trying to manipulate me, but I'm not going to fall for that manipulation. I'm on mission. I'm going to stay on the wall, and I'm going to continue to work this out. Farstead writes this. He said, a Jew named Shemaiah, who was a secret informer for the enemy, warned Nehemiah about a supposed plot on his life and suggested that the governor accompany him into the temple for safety. Nehemiah saw through the prophet's ruse. God's word forbade any but the priest to enter the temple. Nehemiah would rather lose his life than violate the law. Hallelujah. Turn fear over to God. You can trust the Lord. He has got you. God's word is true, and it will be fulfilled. It is being fulfilled in your life. Turn your fear over to the Lord. The Lord will never lead you to sin against His word. No matter what the enemy says, no matter how many distractions, God will never lead you to sin against His word. Remember James 1:13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He Himself tempt anyone. James 1:14. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Turn fear over to God. Nehemiah understood. He says, you know what? I'm just a man, and I've got some struggles, but I'm going to trust God. I know what my mission is. I know what my calling is, and I know what the enemy's trying to do. He's trying to get me off of this big work that God is putting forth. And if he gets me off of it, he's going to trip up other folks, but I'm going to finish this. Look at Nehemiah 6:15-16. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of Elul, in the 52 days. And it happened when all our enemies heard of it, and all the nations around us saw these things, that they were very disheartened in their own eyes. For they perceived, I love this part, that this work was done by our God. Somebody say, by our God, by our God. The work was done by our God. Here's a point. You can depend on God. Yes, yes, you can depend on God. I want you to know it may not seem like it sometimes because the enemy's hitting you so hard, but you can depend on the God. The old folks say he may not show up when you want him, but he's right on time. You can depend on God. The enemy gets upset when we finish our mission. You remember that video I showed you of that runner, Sahan? She finished her race, and the enemy gets upset when we finish our race. He gets even more upset when we win our race, when we come out front. But God is saying, I got you. You just got to trust me. Remember that God is the one who enables us in everything. 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Say, he's greater in me. The Holy Spirit is on the inside of you, and he's the one that allows you to overcome. The Lord has made us overcomers. I love this scripture, Romans 8:37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Actually, that super conquerors through him who loved us. Yes, he's made us more than conquerors. We got to turn our fear over to God. We got to realize that God is faithful. We can depend on him. I love this, Romans 8:38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Turn your fear over to God. Let me get this final section. I got excited here. Nehemiah 6:17. Also in those days, the nobles of Judah sent many letters to Tobiah, and the letters of Tobiah came to them. For many in Judah were pledged to him because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Ara, and his son Jehohanan, and had married the daughter of Meshullam, the son of Berechiah. Nehemiah 6:19, also they reported his good deeds before me and reported my words to him. Tobiah sent letters to frighten me. Turn your fear over to God. Here's our final point. Don't be afraid. Yes, yes, yes. Don't be afraid. Get that on the inside of you. Type it out. Don't be afraid. Tell somebody that's around you, don't be afraid. Remember that scripture that we've been getting at that 6th and 7th verse. I'm going to put it together for you. 2 Timothy 1:6-7. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. That's what Paul encouraged Tim. He said, you got to stir it up. You got to stir it up when the enemy comes and he's trying to get you distracted and caught up. You got to stir it up on the inside and know that God is faithful. I dare you right now in the midst of your distraction and fear to just stir it up and begin to lift up your hands and say, God is faithful. I dare you right now to give him the highest praise and just scream out hallelujah. I dare you right now to get on your feet and begin just to run around and just give God a shout and clap of praise as you command yourself and command your mouth to speak praises unto the Lord and command yourself to clap your hands all at the same time. It will make the devil mad because you know what? He's deserving of all the praise. And it's in the midst of that we can understand that verse 7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I say, I got a sound mind. I don't have to walk in fear. I can turn my fear over to God. Isaiah spoke of God's comfort in Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. But I'm so glad for Nehemiah. Aren't you glad for Nehemiah? A man that stayed on mission, a man that stayed in prayer, a man that not give himself to fear of the enemy trying to come against him. But I'm so glad there's a greater one than Nehemiah. I am so glad that Jesus came from heaven to earth to walk among men, to deal with his disciples, to deal with the likes of us. You remember there was so many times the disciples, they fell into fear. Remember Matthew 14:25, now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Yeah, Jesus was walking on the sea before them. Matthew 14:26, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. Please understand, we got to turn our fear over to God. They were afraid. They thought Jesus was a ghost at this point. They were losing it. Matthew 14:27. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. There ought to be some shouts of praise today to know that God says, don't be afraid. You can turn your fear over to the Lord. There was some other time that Jesus would be sleeping in the helm of the ship, and all of a sudden a storm would come up, and his disciples would begin to lose it again, and they would come down and say, don't you care that we perish? And Jesus would come up and speak to the storm and say, peace, be still. Aren't you glad for a God that can take us through our situations? But I'm so glad that Jesus didn't stop right there. But Jesus goes to the cross of Calvary. He takes nails in his hands and nails in his feet. He carries our fears. He carries our distractions and our pains on that cross. They are nailed to the cross. I am so glad for a God that cared so much, the sinless Lamb of God. He died on the cross of Calvary. They put him in a cold tomb, but please understand, it took Nehemiah 52 days to get the people together to build the wall. But I'm so glad to let you know that it only took Jesus 3 days to come out of the grave with all power and all glory, so that we can know we can trust him and we can turn our fear over to him. Yes, he's seated on the right hand of the Father, and he's interceding for us. He's praying for us. He's praying for the saints, that we can be encouraged in him. If you're listening today and you don't know this God, you don't know him as your personal Savior, I encourage you, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. And he said, you will be saved. That's your first step to overcoming fear overcoming anxiety and distractions of the enemy is to get saved and to sense God's peace that goes beyond all understanding. For the saints that are listening in today, maybe you've got some distractions that the enemy are bringing in, some fears that he's trying to get you to partake so you can make mistakes. Please know that you can trust the Lord. You can depend on God. Today, decide you're going to turn that fear over to God. Because you can think in the past, hadn't he been faithful? Hadn't God brought you through this and that? What makes you believe that he won't bring you through this one? Yes, God is faithful. And I encourage you right now to stand on God's word, just as Nehemiah stood. But most importantly, know that Jesus has all power and all glory. And he's working it out right now. And for the believer, we have his spirit that dwells on the inside of us. Let us all turn our fears over to God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this word. Thank you, God, that you've allowed us to see in how the enemy comes, his tactics, how he distracts us and brings fear and wants us to partake of us. But you said, do not be afraid. Oh, we can trust you, Lord. Lord, forgive us for the times we have failed, that we have navigated our lives in fear, that we have fallen down and didn't get back up. But we thank you for your presence, God, that holds us. And what we couldn't do, you've already done for us. Help us to be more like you. Help us to be better, God. Help us to encourage all those around. Help us to not walk in fear, but to walk in faith. Thank you for being our King, our Lord, our everything. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Everyone, stand on your feet all over the sanctuary.
Pure and holy. Tried and true, and with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Prepare your hearts, because you are the sanctuary. Lord, prepare me,
yes,
to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, and with thanksgiving, I'll be a Spirit. We are standing on holy ground, and there are angels all around. Let us praise Jesus now, for we are standing in his presence on holy ground.
We are standing on holy ground,
and
now we are standing.